My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever. And the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 40% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Now, Aaron has tried a different version of RELAX with Jets fans who are impatient, considering that they had to wait through an entire year without their quarterback, but having the team that was built for him to succeed. So now, Jets fans maybe can breathe easier. I would say Jets fans have got to be happy with the way the defense is playing so far. Well, at least in this second game. And we'll get to the Jets in Nashville and Aaron Rodgers logging with his team on the field of victory. So, right, he's been a member of the Jets. So it's not technically their first win with him on the roster, but first one with him as the quarterback. And a better defensive performance for them in week number two. Of course, what's up 1 week in the NFL is down the next week, especially in this first month, even 2 months. It's a race to consistency. So what we saw from Jets and Niners last week, not really indicative of what we saw this week. It's a seesaw affair, if you will. In fact, I often compare it to a roller coaster ride that makes you seasick at times. It's exhilarating at the top, but boy, does it make you want to throw up as you're heading down from the highest of the heights to the depths of the biggest or the lowest valley. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. I certainly do feel like a roller coaster is an appropriate way to describe the NFL. And yeah, early on, you could point a lot of different directions and say, that was embarrassing. What the heck was that? Boy, was that humiliating. What are you doing? Or as Bill Callahan said to his young quarterback on Sunday, what the bleep are you doing? Man, Will Levis, I swear sometimes he closes his eyes and throws the football just as hard as he can. He doesn't care if anyone's there. Just expects his receivers to make a play for him. Just close your eyes and chuck and duck, baby. So we'll get to Jets and Titans, I promise. But we had two veteran quarterbacks, two teams familiar with one another, and I would say the familiarity breeding some contempt. It was a tense playoff atmosphere in Kansas City, so we're going to get to that game momentarily because it somehow not just lives up to the hype, but manages to exceed expectations. All kinds of drama unfolding at Arrowhead Stadium. But first, a couple places where you can weigh in. Who is the After Hours Monday MVP? I put the post up on Facebook, and I'm really proud of myself because I found the perfect GIF. Now, this was all me because I don't know if producer Pete and I have even talked about the Facebook page yet. I'm kind of handling it. He's handling our show Twix account. But I searched for Monday GIFs. Oh, it's perfect. It's absolutely perfect. That's how I will feel come Monday afternoon. So for those of you who have to head to work on Monday morning, ouch, this feels appropriate. Because no matter how much you loved the weekend, sometimes when you love the weekend too much, enjoyed the weekend too much, Monday comes pouncing. So check it out, After Hours with Amy Lawrence on Facebook. And also, you can weigh in about the team with the most embarrassing performance in week number two. I love that we're already getting your responses, but John says this at A-Law Radio. I think the Colts are the most embarrassing. Now 0-2, already lost to the Texans. It's like a three-game lead already. Malik Willis doesn't have much NFL QB1 experience, but he did enough to win, referring to Green Bay. The Colts allowed Jacobs 150-plus yards when they knew the Packers would run. Thank you, John. The Packers' decision to run the ball come hell or high water, oh, it worked. It was exactly what they needed. Though they didn't build a big enough lead that the Colts didn't still have a shot at the end. So, yeah, another example of a roller coaster ride. Before we get to Bengals and Chiefs, wanted to talk about another big AFC storyline. Remember, coming out of Thursday night, we only knew that Tua Tagovailoa had been diagnosed with another concussion. Now, if you're only counting his NFL career, this is three diagnosed concussions, probably a fourth since 2022. Okay, so we're talking 2 years. It might be parts of three seasons, but it's two actual years. And three diagnosed concussions, but maybe a fourth. Now, if you go back to his days at Alabama, when he was the starting quarterback and actually going back and forth with Jalen Hurts, he had a pretty nasty hit where he had a broken nose and a concussion in the 2019 season. So now we're talking about four diagnosed concussions in the span of 5 years, with potentially a fifth going back to 22. Obviously, a lot of calls for Tua to place his health and his future and his family as a dad and a husband and a son and a brother. Even Antonio Pierce calling for him to retire over quality of life. We knew that he would be evaluated on Friday. Of course, the Dolphins wanted to take care of himself, and they're going to have to deal with the football without Tua, of course. But this report from Ian Rappaport, in advance of Monday, when Tua will start to look over and hear about his options.
My understanding is that Tua Tagovailoa has no plans to retire. No plans to retire. In fact, his eyes are already on returning to the football field. As far as when that goes, we simply do not know. Every concussion is different. The way every player responds to a concussion is different. He will be healthy enough to play when he is healthy enough to play and when he and his doctors decide that. That said, he has already begun the process of seeing concussion specialists, as he did in 2022. Wouldn't be surprised if he saw the same doctors. The goal is to get on the field when he is ready.
Ian Rappaport of NFL Network. Tua still plans to play. No plans to retire. And I've seen that reported in multiple places. Wants to play again. Now, who knows how long it could take? I've seen guesstimates from doctors, but they're not the ones who are investigating Tua specifically. testing Tua specifically. I've seen something along the lines of 8 to 12 weeks, but that's a doctor who's looking at the situation from the outside. And so he is going to neurologists to find out about the severity of the concussion, the most recent one, as well as the cumulative effect of what's happened since 22 and bigger picture since his career at Alabama. And so we'll wait. But for now, the Dolphins, of course, are in the hands of Skylar Thompson, or at least the offense is. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, again, online at A-Law Radio. Also on our Facebook page, you can take our poll and you can weigh in about most embarrassing. I don't know, maybe Jamar Chase deserves a spot in that poll because he's still not got it together to start this young NFL season, nor do the Bengals. But I suppose this is a familiar spot for them to inhabit. Early on, Bengals and Chiefs was, it was field goals. That's a theme throughout the NFL, is it not? But what was interesting about these two teams is they kept getting into the red zone and then would have to settle for the field goals. A pair of extended drives that really consumed most of the first quarter. Each team had a red zone stop, so the defenses showed up to play in this one. And then the turnover bug for Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. If you remember last season, they had a bunch of drops. They had too many turnovers, and they were sloppy early on, and it was the defense that continued to give them the chance to win. Well, Patrick Mahomes throws an interception over the middle, gets picked up by Akeem Davis-Gather, and he snuck into the zone. It's kind of interesting because you don't often get a defender that fools Patrick Mahomes. But in this case, Mahomes was trying to look the defense off to the left and never saw him sneak right into the zone in front of his receiver. So Cincinnati is able to turn that into a touchdown. So there's points off turnovers. And if you haven't seen this touchdown, it's terrific. We might be able to retweet it from our show Twix at Amy After Hours. And if you'd not heard the name, Andre Yoshibash. It was kind of fun to hear the announcers say it over and over as they were working on it. Jim Nance kept working on it. So the toe drag swag from a second-year wide receiver who didn't get a lot of work last season, but with the changes, of course, the Bengals are counting on new guys, Andre Yoshibash. So Mahomes, he's typical Mahomes, and man, the Arrowhead fans were full throttle. They were full throat. It was so loud there. There were several times where the Bengals either weren't ready and had to call a timeout, or you could tell that Burrow was having a hard time hearing and communicating with his offensive line. But yeah, Mahomes and Rashee Rice, that connection continues to get stronger. As a 44-yarder over the top that tied the game at 10, middle of the second quarter. Now, the rookie, Carson Steele, he had an opportunity early in the game. And I do appreciate that even when young guys make mistakes, Andy Reid and Mahomes will go back to them. But his fumble, I'm sure he was mortified, led to a Bengals field goal that actually gave Cincinnati the lead before halftime. Now, we knew there was a long way to go, right? Because this is these two teams. I think their last four games, so not including this one, though this one falls into the same category, their last four games have been decided by 3 points each, right? So they are always going toe-to-toe. And even though the Bengals looked horrific in week one against the Patriots, and that game was in Cincinnati, the number of people that were dumped out of their survivor pools, or in our case, dumped off Survivor Island, that's both producer Pete and I, only to see the Bengals come back like this. It's infuriating. Seriously, it's infuriating. Anyway, so starting out the third quarter, it feels like the Chiefs are settling in, but we should have known. I mean, it was a nice drive for them. They go 13 plays. It's Wayne Morris, a big man touchdown. He's declared eligible. He ends up in the end zone wide open. I mean, there wasn't a Bengal within 6 feet of him. I don't know how a big man can sneak into the end zone, but he definitely did. Maybe the Bengals weren't paying attention to the fact that he reported in as eligible. But that gives the Chiefs the lead. And this is the theme. The lead just kept changing hands in the second half. Cincinnati responds with its own 6-minute drive. a fourth down throw. Once again, Josie Vaush with a touchdown, right? So out of nowhere. I mean, all these guys who are on rosters, of course, deserve to be there. It's so competitive. They've earned their time and their spot on these rosters. But it's incredible, and I think part of it is the good quarterbacks. They're looking for you to get open. If you get open and you make yourself available and you can make a play, they will find you. And that is the case with both Mahomes, who we've seen either resurrect careers or build careers of young receivers and young weapons around him. And now you're asking Joe Burrow to do the same thing with the Bengals, not having T. Higgins, Ja'Marr Chase not being with them most of this offseason. Do you guys remember how Cam Taylor-Britt was yapping earlier in the week? Now, his target was Xavier Worthy. Oh, my gosh, I'm looking at it right now on NFL Network. His target was Worthy. And he said, other than his speed, he's nothing special. He was talking about how small he is. Well, it's a pretty impressive moment. He put his money where his mouth is because there was a ball that was underthrown by Mahomes to Worthy. And it was inside of him, so it wasn't over the top where only Worthy could catch it along the sidelines. It was inside, it was short, and Taylor-Britt goes up and snags it one-handed. I mean, he's able to go up and curl it underneath. So he's reaching out, he's stretching out, he grabs the ball and curls it into his body. And so, yeah, for a second there, he probably felt like the big man on campus. But right after that, once again, another twist in this game between Chiefs and Bengals.
Cincinnati 3 of 9 on third down. They have 3rd and 10 here. Joe Burrow at his own 34-yard line. Burrow takes the shotgun snap, pressured up the middle, and they're going to grab him and pull him down. As Mike Dan and Tershawn Morton, now the ball's out. They say this is live. It's picked up by Shamari Carter. He goes to the 10-5. Touchdown, Kansas City.
What? Oh, yeah, this was crazy. Burrow fumbles it, kind of forward. And for a second there, you couldn't tell whether or not the ball had come out before he had hit the ground. It was kind of, there were a bunch of bodies around there. So it took CBS probably 3-4 angles before they could see that, in fact, it was a fumble and the ball was out before Burrow hit the ground. But there was no whistle. So that you knew for sure. Connor, oh, I have to sneeze. Oh, no. Hold on. Oh, wait, maybe I wanted to sneeze. Why do I have to sneeze? Oh, no. It's that sensation. It's awful. Okay, I can do this. I don't know why I'm allergic to the Bengals and the Chiefs. So Ja'Marr Connor picks it up and goes because there's no whistle. He gets into the end zone. They review it. And in fact, it is a fumble return for a touchdown, as you hear with Mitch Holtis on Chiefs radio. But yeah, it was kind of odd. It was one of those plays where a bunch of people stopped thinking that the whistle had blown or that it wasn't a fumble. But I thought it was an astute observation by Jim Nantz that Burrow actually got up and started to run the other direction, meaning he knew that it was a fumble. The Chiefs missed the 2-point conversion, though, so now they're only clinging to a 1-point lead. But see the theme? Back and forth, like a game of table tennis. 23-22 at that point. Okay, so then Bengals, they've got some work to do. They hold the ball for another 5 minutes in the fourth quarter. And here's where it gets all kinds of melodramatic for Ja'Marr Chase. He's had quite a year, and it's only September. He makes a catch, but feels like there should have been a call. I don't know if it was a legal hand to the face or some kind of a call. He wanted holding. He wanted a flag on the defender. So after he makes his case with the ref essentially says, fine, we're just going to keep playing. I hear you, but we're going to get back to business. Except Chase wasn't done. So he then goes back to the official, continues to berate him as his teammates are trying to hold him back. So an old lineman gets in there. Burrow, now remember, Burrow and Chase played together in college, so they know each other well. Burrow gets in his face and is shoving him backward and is holding him backward. Chase continues to want to go around him to get back to this official. So it takes a bunch of guys to try to talk him down, and he's having a fit. And as I say, there was a flag that was thrown. And according to the pool report, referee Alex Kemp, he's the one who threw the flag. He said that, I guess it wasn't hands to the face, excuse me, I remember now, it was a hip drop tackle, one of those details that eludes me. He thought he had been the victim of a hip drop tackle. Okay, and because of the injury risk, it's been banned in the NFL. It's a new rule. Anyway, he didn't like the fact that Kemp didn't call it. And so Kemp told the pool reporter that Chase used quote unquote abusive language that went far beyond any dissent over a missed call. So Kemp, this is his statement. The simple answer is profanity used by grown men versus direct personal abusive language towards a game official. That's the line. When that line gets crossed, we simply can't let that happen in pro football. And he said that the abusive language is something that he couldn't repeat. I saw that as well. So that's referee Alex Kemp. Gene Steratore, who is the CBS rules analyst, he was also on board. Tony Romo said the same thing. You can't show up a ref. He kind of did the first time, but you can't go back and get to him again. And so, yeah, this was, I don't necessarily know if it was a turning point because there felt like there were a lot of them. But in this particular case, that pushed them backwards 15 yards and it disrupted them for sure. And it was a major talking point after the game. Now, Mike Gesicki, he's able to haul in a 10-yard catch, which puts them back into field goal range. So they are able to take the lead, 25-23. But think about what could have happened had they not had that major penalty. Maybe they convert on third down and they keep the drive going. It's after hours with Amy Lawrence. Should I stop there or should I finish the game? I feel like there's so much more to do. Pete wants me to stop. No, you want me to keep going?
Keep going.
Don't stop in the middle. Don't tease it. It's just right. A lot. Right, so after the Bengals take the lead, they force a three and out. But as we've seen early on in the season especially, the offenses can be disjointed. And the Bengals were unable to keep the ball then away from Patrick Mahomes and away from the Chiefs and run out the clock. So yeah, Cincinnati forces Kansas City to give up the ball, goes three and out, but then can't keep the ball themselves. Joe Burrow gets sacked by Chimari Connor. There's that man again. And the Chiefs get the ball back with 2.5 minutes to go. Oh, you want another dramatic moment? Okay. The Chiefs are doing their job on defense. They force a 4th and 16. So there's an offensive lineman who gets flagged. And that sets up a 4th and 16 for the Chiefs.
Mahomes catches a shotgun snap, drops back, bouncing at the 23, scrambling left, stays behind the line, throws downfield, broken up by Dejon Anthony. There's a penalty flag on the Bengals rookie.
Wow, he's going to call pass interference on that?
Rashee Rice was the intended receiver.
Wow.
He absolutely did call pass interference, and it was pass interference. I mean, Rashee Rice went to leap for the ball, and before the ball got there, the rookie climbs up his back. He doesn't jump straight up in the air. He climbs over the top of him, and he forces his head forward, knocks his arms. Now, it maybe people were questioning because the flag came in a little bit late, but again, no challenge there. It's a rookie who just got overeager and messed up. But it happened on a 4th and 16. And so that DPI, that penalty, moves the chains, as you hear on the Bengals radio network, and the reaction of Dave Lapham along with Dan Hoard. And this is something that I think is notable. A lot of people have talked about it. The Chiefs really didn't show much of a sense of urgency. Once they got that first down with the flag and moved up to the spot of the foul, they just kind of lollygagged it. They didn't go for a whole lot of yards. I think they had one run play that maybe went 7 yards. After that, pshaw, whatever. We're just going to put this ball on the foot of Harrison Butker.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 40% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be
a 51-yarder officially to try to win it by Butker. Placement is down. Butker's kick, leg through. It is high enough, and it is good. Kansas City, Harrison Butker, another clutch kick against the Bengals, and the Chiefs win it at the buzzer, 26-25.
I expect to have, you know, a lot of kicks every single game. I expect the game to be close and for it to end with a game-winning kick. And I feel like if that's my mentality going into every game, you know, I'll be prepared for whatever comes my way.
Ice water in the veins of Harrison Butker. 51-yarder as time expires. Again, Mitch Holtis on Chiefs radio. So we'll hear a little bit from the Bengals and the Chiefs. Jamar Chase, he didn't want to talk about it, so there's really not a whole lot that we got from him. But, of course, Joe Burrow was asked about Chase blowing up. So was Zach Taylor. And then just in general, another game between these two teams that is decided by just a couple points. And how about this? There were 5 lead changes in the second half. It's terrific. I don't know how it manages to live up to and exceed the hype, but it certainly does when these two teams step on the field together. At A-Law Radio, on our Facebook page, it's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Third down and goal from the 4. Shotgun snap. Burrow cocks the arm, throws.
Oh.
A dive toward the pylon.
Yeah.
It is.
Call it. They're talking about
There's
it.
There's a conference.
They're talking.
No signal yet.
Yeah.
Touchdown.
There you go.
Andre Yosibosh catching the pass near the forward left pylon. A long conference before the touchdown signal, and it's a 4-yard TD.
First and 10 this time on the far hash at the Bengal 44. Mahomes, clean pocket. Going long. Left, and it's caught. Left side. Touchdown. Kansas City. The Chiefs go for a 44-yard bomb, and it goes to number 4, Rashee Rice. That is the 100th touchdown pass at GEHA Field at Arrowhead Stadium for Patrick Mahomes.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Impressive moments for both teams, of course, because these quarterbacks raise the level of play of everyone around them. The calls with Dan Hoard and Dave Lapham on Bengals radio, and then Mitch Holtis on Chiefs radio. Yeah, five consecutive games between these two now, separated by 3 points or fewer. This one, just a one-point win for Kansas City. Now, on both sides, there were a couple of moments that people are going to be talking about on Monday. Ja'Marr Chase did not answer questions about what happened with the referee, Alex Kemp. I told you in a pool report following the game, he said abusive language that crossed the line between profanity in the heat of the moment versus taking it out on the official himself. And he did give Chase the chance to walk away. Again, Chase said, I ain't going to talk about it afterwards. So that left Joe Burrow, who was the one trying to push Chase away.
Yeah, I'm not really sure. I was just trying to de-escalate the situation. There's something said that I'm not exactly sure what it was, but you'll have to ask him.
It's okay to be emotional. You know, I'm not in the middle of it. I'm not in the middle of it, so I can't see everything that's said or done. So it's better that I don't comment.
He did try to talk to Chase and encourage him once Ja'Marr got to the sideline. Didn't look like he was reaming him. Just looked like he was trying to hear what he had to say and then maybe talk to him. Learning lesson or learning, teaching moment, learning lesson. I don't know how much it got through to Chase. He's had a rough offseason and start to the season. And maybe, just maybe, I'm not saying it is the case, but there are times when athletes are carrying some of the other stuff, the business, with them when they're in the game. A recent example, Klay Thompson. He was talking about, I think it was last year, maybe the year before, contract stuff and getting benched and not feeling good about his position with the team and his future with the team and carrying that with him onto the court to the point where it was affecting how he played. I would say in the case of Ja'Marr Chase, he's still getting questions about a contract. The Bengals did not give him what he wanted. They felt like they had reached their limit. Now he's talking about how it's unlikely that there will be a deal before the season is done. And so there's a bit of anger there. We know that he's expressed his frustration. Is it possible he's taking that with him on the field and not playing as well as he can, but also having a very short fuse? There is that possibility. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. As for the Chiefs, the 4th and 16, getting the benefit of a DPI on a rookie in the secondary. Now, Rashee Rice did go up to try to make the play. So, yeah, this was a moment that a lot of Bengals fans will rue. At the same time, you got to give credit to the Chiefs for at least having the ability to throw the ball downfield in position.
Obviously, they're going to get in that kind of fence defense at the sticks, and so my job is to buy time for guys to get downfield. I was able to do that. As I scrambled to the left, I saw Rashee open. I knew it was going to be contested, but you got to put the ball up. And Rashee tried to do a great job of trying to get the ball. I haven't seen the replay or anything, but it felt like the Duke King was there pretty early, and we got the flag. But, I mean, you got to give guys chances in those situations, and that's what we did.
There's not a whole lot other than you want to get it. You know, you're hoping that it's a completion, so, yeah.
Yeah, that's about all you can do at that point.
Right, yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's nothing else. I mean, you're in the mix, so I wasn't dreaming about going to the Bahamas at that time, so.
Although he does have the shirts that would make him right at home in the Bahamas. Andy Reid after Patrick Mahomes talking about that 4th and 16. And Mahomes makes a good point. You have to allow the receiver the room, the space to get it. You cannot get on him early. And that's what this rookie did. And I don't know if he would have caught it, but he might have. It was a catchable ball. It was high, but Rashee was up and could have hauled it in. Stranger things have happened. I don't think it was that crazy of a throw, but it was high. And so the fact that I think that underscores this foul even more, because the fact that he was having to leap up to get it, but was kind of knocked down from behind. If you think basketball, it was over the back. He was over the back and he was over the top, and he didn't allow Rashid the ability to jump straight up in the air and try to catch that ball. His hands weren't up straight in the air because he had the defender hanging over the top of him. So it's unfortunate. I know Burrow was really frustrated, threw his helmet down on the sidelines or smashed his helmet down on the sidelines, but in a game that's this tight, that's this close, those types of plays can make a huge difference. And Mahomes knows when these two teams get on the field, you're talking about every single snap counting. And honestly, that's how it's been for the Chiefs now in their first two games.
Yeah, it just shows that we can still do it. I mean, those are two great football teams we've played these last 2 weeks, teams that we've played in AFC Championship games, and be able to come out with wins at home, that's important. And obviously, we feel like we can get a lot better. And so we're going to clean up the mistakes, especially on the offense. It starts with me, and then we'll be a better team forward as the season goes on. But it'll be a great challenge next weekend on Sunday Night Football in Atlanta.
Oh, yes. More primetime football with Patrick Mahomes. The Chiefs beat the Ravens in their season opener last Thursday, week one. And here's the thing. They had two very difficult opponents, but both were at home. And so if you want to make the playoffs in the AFC, and of course the Chiefs are the team to beat, but if you want to make the playoffs in the AFC, you take care of your business at home. That's the first thing that you do. Once you do that, well, then you hope to pick off a few on the road. But even with these two opponents, Ravens and Bengals, they had to protect their home turf because that's where they're starting out. And the road will get tougher as they head out. At A-Law Radio, who's the Monday MVP? Also, who's the most embarrassed after their week two performance? I don't know. Ja'Marr Chase could probably be in that category if we were talking about individuals. We don't tend to do that. Also on our Facebook page, just check out the GIF. It's perfect as you try to tackle your Monday. And speaking of the Ravens, first time they've been 0-2 in 9 years. What's going on with Baltimore? An old problem rearing its ugly head against the Raiders. But this was at M&T Bank Stadium. My niece lives a block from there. She just moved there about, I don't know, 4 months ago. And this was her first experience with a home game. Again, a block from M&T Bank Stadium. And I tried to warn her, there's going to be a lot of purple people around. It's going to be really loud. So I'm waiting to hear back from her about this experience. She said she could open her window and essentially hear everything that's happening in the stadium. Oh, and she's on the ground floor. Oh, dear. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Here's our latest sports update. And here's Peter Schwartz.
Infinity Sports Network. Sports Flash.
We kick off with Sunday Night Football. The Texans were leading the Bears by 6 points late in the fourth quarter, but the Bears had the ball.
Fourth and 17 for the Bears from the Chicago 40. Williams shotgun. Here's the snap. Here's the rush. Williams with time. Guns it. Downfield right side. Incomplete. And the Texans take over on downs. They'll win on Sunday Night Football.
Mark Vandermeer on Texans Radio. The Texans beat the Bears 19-13. C.J. Stroud threw for 260 yards and a touchdown. Elsewhere, Harrison Butker, a 51-yard field goal with no time left, gave the Chiefs a 26-25 win over the Bengals. Other games, the Steelers over the Broncos 13-6, Cardinals 41, Rams 10, three touchdown passes for Kyler Murray, Commanders over the Giants 21-18, Jets 24, Titans 17, the Browns over the Jaguars 18-13, Vikings 23, Niners 17, in overtime the Seahawks over the Patriots 23-20, Packers 16, Colts 10, Bucks over the Lions 20-16, the Saints beat the Cowboys 44-19, Raiders beat the Ravens 26-23, the Chargers over the Panthers 26-3. Baseball, Dodgers over the Braves 9-2, Mariners 7, Rangers nothing. In 10, Diamondbacks beat the Brewers 11-10, Astros over the Angels 6-1, Guardians 2, Rays nothing, White Sox beat the A's 4-3, Cubs 6, Rockies 2, in 10, Padres over the Giants 4-3, Blue Jays 3, Cardinals 2, Pirates 4, Royals 3, the Phillies beat the Mets 2-1, Nationals 4, Marlins 3, the Yankees beat the Red Sox 5-2, Aaron Judge hit home run number 53, it was the Twins over the Reds 9-2, the Tigers beat the Orioles 4-2. WNBA, Caitlin Clark, a career-high 35 points, Indiana Fever over the Dallas Wings 110-109, NASCAR Chris Buescher wins at Watkins Glen. I'm Peter Schwartz.
Hey, like us on Facebook. Our handle is INF Sportsnet. That's INF Sportsnet for our Facebook page. This is the Infinity Sports Network.
To his right, brings Mayer into the backfield. The handoff to Zamir. No, Minshew keeps it to the end zone for Adams, and it's caught. Touchdown, Raiders! Minshew pulled it out of White's belly, and a quick throw to Devontae in the back middle of the end zone. And the Raiders, with 3:54 to go in the game, are an extra point away from tying this game.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
On the Raiders Radio Network, man, we had no idea what was in store for us when we started out watching this game in Baltimore at M&T Bank Stadium, the home opener for last year's top seed in the AFC. But it was only field goals in the first half. And how about this? Justin Tucker, I guess he is mortal, missing a 56-yarder after an interception. And so offense and points, tough to come by in the first half. It was 9-6, a barn burner. 9-6 at the break. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Now the Ravens able to use the first drive of the third quarter. Derrick Henry, there's that man again. Remember, we had talked to Kadri Ismail, a former Ravens wide receiver who does their pre and post on TV in Baltimore, right after their Thursday loss to the Chiefs. So that was starting out the season. And one of the things he told us is, hey, you got Derrick Henry. You need to use him more often. I mean, he did get some activity in that first game, and we saw that he still has the ability to battle defenders, take contact, take hits, and keep moving. But they didn't use him a ton. Well, here's Derrick Henry going 29 yards into the red zone. And then Lamar is able to find Zay Flowers for the 8-yard touchdown. And that puts the Ravens up by 10. But then there's a Lamar interception. And I think you could say that was the turning point. It sparked the Raiders. So after picking off Lamar Jackson, the Raiders then have four consecutive scoring drives. Four in a row. Now, Baltimore is able to, again, take the 10-point lead with another Derrick Henry play. And this one's a touchdown early in the fourth quarter. But the Raiders, at this point, won't be stopped. And they just keep on coming. And in the fourth quarter, Gardner Minshew, he's efficient. He's spreading the ball around, and you hear the play to Devontae Adams that ties the game with about 4 minutes to go. Gardner Minshew, one of our candidates for Monday MVP. And so you can check that out at A-Law Radio or our show account at Amy After Hours, and it is up on our Facebook page. Just look for the Monday that's pouncing. That's all I'm going to say. You can find it. So again, Devontae Adams' touchdown ties the game with about 4 minutes to go. It's 23-23, Raiders and Ravens. Oh, just as a side note, my husband joked with me, I thought he was being serious, that he had picked the Raiders to win this game in the Survivor pool, that he picked them to stay on Survivor Island. And I was agape. This was late last week. Oh, I'm just kidding. I didn't pick them. I was like, okay, phew. Anyway, after that, the Raiders D is also up for the challenge, forces a three and out, and then the Raiders are able to tack on a field goal. So they're working in concert here. They've got all three segments, all three facets, all three units, the offense, the defense, and the special teams. So Carlson's 38-yard field goal is good with 27 seconds to go, but there is still time for the Ravens, and we know what Lamar Jackson is all about.
He's just watching Jackson. Exactly. There's the snap. Right. Pressure from Wilkins. Up, Jackson takes off up the middle. He has the 50 and the 40. Still on his feet at the 30. He laterals it back to Justice Hill near sideline at the 30. Keeps the play alive. He dumps it. Looks like it was forward. There's the flag. It's still loose. Raiders bat it down. They're about to fall on top of it, and this ball game is over. The Raiders come to Baltimore, and they beat the Ravens in a massive effort here on the road.
a win where we were 10-point underdogs, disrespected the National Football League. I've been in the game a long time. Not too many times teams get picked by to lose by 10 points. Our guys took it personal, and that was good, and we got a lot of cleanup to do tomorrow.
Antonio Pierce, we took it personally that we were 10-point underdogs. And, yeah, we got a lot of cleanup to do tomorrow, but you'll take that. The Raiders start out with a 1-1 record, but I would say this one, as much as it doesn't count for two wins, this one's got to be a confidence boost. So it's bigger than just a win because of the way they came back twice in the second half, went down by 10 points. And that includes the fourth quarter. Gardner Minshew, 30 of 38. So taking care of the football, 276 yards. He has a touchdown. He does have a pick. And the Ravens put a fair amount of pressure on him. He had five sacks, but loved the way they found a rhythm in the fourth quarter.
That's what it can be, you know, and that's a challenge, is to be consistent with that. I look forward to continue to build on that momentum. I think everybody feels pretty great about it. There's a ton of tape to clean up, and we're going to do that. But I think everybody feels and believes what we can be as an offense.
Well, and again, this type of a win gives you confidence, because in these tough circumstances, when you left a lot of points out there, you had a couple of turnovers, you didn't play great the whole time, but you were able to rally against a team as good as the Ravens, well, then you think, oh, well, in our own division, maybe we can do that against the Chiefs. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Were the Ravens the most embarrassing performance of week two? For the first time in 9 years, the Ravens start out the season 0-2, and Lamar Jackson, he is not having it.
It's always business, you know. Yeah, but we're going to see. We're going to see. You know, I'm definitely going to talk to my guys, though, because we got to find our mojo. You know, we got to find and do what we do, because that's not us at all.
Yeah, the message that we define our season, you know, when it's going to not be defined by everybody, it's going to say that we're not any good, you know, that we're done, that the season's over after two games.
It's over.
That's what's going to be said. We understand that, you know, but they're not here. They're not inside. No one inside's going to say that. We got to take care of our stuff, take care of our business, take care of our work. We know that we're a good football team, and we've got to go keep getting better and better and better and define the season, you know, by the way we play.
I don't know. Is anyone going to raise their hands and say the Ravens season is done at 0-2? Now, it's certainly not what I expected from the AFC North out of the gate. The Steelers, with one total touchdown, have two wins. And aren't they both on the road? I think they started out with two games on the road, right? They were at Atlanta in their season opener, and then in Denver for week two. They've had one touchdown. Justin Fields had a 10-yard touchdown pass to Darnell Washington on Sunday. Everything else is field goals. You're welcome, Chris Boswell. Lots of pub for Chris Boswell. But they're 2-0. They haven't even had their starting quarterback yet, and they're 2-0. Thank you for the defense, too. And Mike Tomlin, he definitely knows how to coach up a defense. The Cleveland Browns, we'll talk about them next hour. They're 1-1, so they get the victory on Sunday to even their record. But the Ravens and the Bengals are 0-2. Not insurmountable. We know this because it's the third year in a row the Bengals have started 0-2, so it's familiar to them. But also, I think it's the fifth time in six years, don't quote me on that. It's either 4-5 or 5-6 that they started out 0-2. So why, Pete, I ask you again, why did we decide it was a good idea to pick them in the survivor pool in week number one?
Well, we're still working out the rust, like all the teams in the NFL in terms of their play.
We're not in midseason form.
Back into week four.
We're asking you who's most embarrassing in week two. Matt on Twix at A-Law Radio. The pathetic Panthers. He capitalizes the P. I do love the alliteration, pathetic Panthers. Bryce is not it. Somehow looks even worse than he did last year. Michael, though, goes with the Dallas Cowboy defense. Matthew also says the Cowboys. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken
care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 40% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.